the title of this message is The Highways and the Byways Church. The Highways and the Byways Church. And as normal, the message might not have a lot to do with the title, but it's a point of reference. I just want to bring a couple of the thoughts that I did this morning, and one of them is that, you know what, this is major, and yet it's people don't really consider it. A true Christian's library should only consist of one book, and because all of the other books, anything else that is written, is lower, as far as low as the earth is above, beneath the heavens. I said that backwards, on purpose. The Bible says the thoughts and the ways of God are higher, above our thoughts and our ways, as high as the earth or the heavens are above the earth. And then again, Smith Wigglesworth was called the one book man and the apostle of faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, and of course it's related to the Bible. And my faith has improved greatly because of my relationship with the Word of God. And it's a strange thing. See, the Bible is a spiritual substance, and so it works on you in a way that you can't understand. It does things while you're sleeping. It's doing things to you. And so my faith has totally changed as I've listened to the Scriptures. And but anyway, so here's Smith Wigglesworth. And I have read his book, or some books about him. He never wrote any himself. And they've copied some of his messages that he preached, and they've been put in print. But he didn't want any. He didn't want to write any books. They said, "Well, you need to write some books," because he raised people from the dead, and great things were attributed to him. And he said, "We already have a book," and I understand that. It's like Joanne and I have seen. We haven't seen anything like Smith Wigglesworth did, but we've seen some wonderful things that have happened. And people have said, told us, they said, you ought to write your story, you know, publish it or something. I said, what, add it to the rest of the stories? There's lots of stories of the wonderful things that God has done. And so there's no reason to write it. You know, as a matter of fact, some of the things that have happened to us, it would be better if we labeled them as fiction, because they seem too far reached, too far out of it, you know. But anyway, I was wondering, in the book of Revelation, to the seven churches, it makes a strange statement, and it says, "He that has an ear." Well, aren't we made with two ears? And why is it that, you know, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Unless it's meaning, even if you hear a little, if you can pick up anything, hear what the Spirit is saying rather than what men are saying. And so in 2 Corinthians 6:1, it said that we are workers together with God. And since God is Spirit, and God is in charge, of course, then isn't that suggesting that we do it His way? You know? We're working in a spiritual realm rather than in a natural. And, you know, I was going to read something this morning. I'm going to read it now. It's in John, the 8th chapter. And in verse 43, it says, Jesus said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. See, he that has an ear to hear, Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And it is hard to hear the word of the Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. You are of your father the devil. The lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I tell you the truth, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces of me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You cannot hear them because you are not from God. And anyway, strange, strange way that it's worded. It says that if you're from God, you can hear God's words. If you're not from God, you can't hear God's word. But faith comes by hearing. So after a while, you develop an ear to hear the truth. You hear spiritual words. And that is what's happening. That's what I can hear in the testimonies. And the things that are being fed to me on Sunday mornings with a handful of people. It's immaterial. It doesn't matter how many there are. If somebody can get it, it says he that has an ear. How many is that? Is that one? Is that two? Is that 1,000? It doesn't matter how many. The thing is, God wants us to hear what he's saying. And since it is spiritual truth, then that's what we want to get. See, I was thinking about calling this message tonight. I call it the highways and the byways. But anyway, I was thinking about calling it the Spirit of Truth. And because the Holy Spirit only works in the truth arena. The Holy Spirit only speaks the same thing. He doesn't speak a dozen different denominations. The Holy Spirit only speaks the same. And see, God has provided his Holy Spirit teacher to only bring men into the truth area. When the Holy Spirit is come, he will lead and guide men into all truths. And so, however, the unholy spirit, which is the devil, also he counterfeits the Holy Spirit and is determined to convince men that he is that Holy Spirit, and thereby things like unity through diversity. You know what? That has really riled something up in my system somewhere, because it is so anti-scriptural. There isn't such a thing as unity through diversity. The only thing that we can have is unity through truth. You can't be a divided assembly and any more than what we have in America. And so the devil tries to convince men that things like unity through the diversity are actually God's will. And you know what? That's easy to fall for. Until you listen carefully and hear God's word carefully. Then you realize it opposes God's will. And so the ignorant and the gullible fall for his gimmicks and become convinced that God sometimes even opposes his own word. Can God oppose his word? You know what? He can't.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
So, God can't do everything.
The thing about it is, God won't oppose truth. That's the point. And so if his word is truth, then he's gonna go by that word. The problem with that statement is that we're working with minds that are not understanding the truth. And so I'm saying God will not oppose what he said. He can't, because it's established forever and ever. Heaven and earth will pass away. That word's going to be the same. It's not going to pass. The problem with it is, going back to this, unity through diversity is so opposed to the entire Word of God. It took me a while, but I began to understand that. So that it makes me wonder how any Bible reader is able to even consider that thought pattern. However, that is how the devil works and still says, and what he says is, has God really said? That's what he told Eve. Did God really say? Is that what God said? And he put doubt in her. And so instead of doing what all should do, if they love the Word of God with all of their hearts, men turn to men for revelation and interpretation. And so the answer really is relatively simple. Read or hear God's Word day and night, like it says in Psalms 1:2, until the Holy Spirit is able to, in Romans 10:16, cause the faith to come that will somehow cause men to believe God's Word. The more I hear God's Word, the more I believe His Word. And when God said in Psalms 1:1, blessed is that one, whoever, blessed is that one. And then it goes on, it gives some necessary statements. Then it says, whose delight, it doesn't say one of the delights, whose delight is in the Word of God. And on that word does he meditate day and night. You know, that don't make sense. We had a funeral here yesterday, and as I talked, I didn't talk to very many, but I talked to a couple different people, and I realized something. We have, by the grace of God, have developed a long ways. Something has happened because there's an openness to hear the Word of God, to hear the truth. We want to know the truth. But I realize a lot of people don't. They're not in that position. It's not even that they don't want to know it. They can't. He that has an ear to hear. They don't have an ear to hear. Because it has not been given to them to hear. And so, it is hard for men at first to get the revelation or understanding of the blessing and how the blessing comes when they, after, you know, but after 16 or 17 years of only hearing God's Word, I'm finally beginning to get some major insights. God's Word is of spirit substance. You know, people don't know that. It's a spirit substance. It's of spirit nature. Because it is of spirit substance, it will abide and live forever and ever and ever. And so, not only were all things created by that essence and the nature of God's Word, but that same Word will continue to create God's divine nature. That's what it says in 2 Peter 1:4. Within the Christians, which is the nature, which is Christ in us. And as we eat and drink only that Word, as such, I see some that are beginning to understand, and I see some that aren't understanding. It's not understanding yet, but somehow I know that before this is all over with, we're going to all understand. Now it says in Daniel, and they that do understand will instruct many. So I know understanding is coming. And when is it going to come? You know when understanding comes? When it comes. You don't get understanding before you got understanding. The big mistake that millions make is that all that they are able to see are a bunch of hard to understand words in a black book. That's what most people see. Here's this black book, and it's so hard. You know what? Been there, done that. I have spent my time, my years, and dedicated myself to reading the Bible for 15 minutes. You know what? That's a long time. And I've sometimes have decided to read it for a half hour. That's twice as long. That's a long, long time. And now, here we are. We're listening to it almost nonstop. Love it. And it goes by quick because the whole approach to the thing is different. It's not the same anymore. See, something somewhere inside of people tells them that they should read those words. Over the years, something told me I need to read these words. And yet, without the right understanding, reading those words are a chore. It's difficult. Which men do by the clock rather than a love for the word. I mean, been there, done that. I've listened to the Bible or read the Bible by the clock. And under the law or the legalisms, men go by predetermined acts. You know, I'm going to do this for a half hour. Rather than motivations that come out of a heart of love towards God and His Word. And so when God says that men shall love Him with all of, you know, whatever they are, that's what it says, with all of their heart, their soul, their mind. It does not, I mean, it does not refer to acts of legalism. That's not a legalistic approach. God doesn't want us to love Him legalistically. He wants us to love Him out of hearts that love Him. And so, I mean, God created the hearts. And He knows exactly what goes on within each heart and every heart that exists anywhere. And the Bible tells us that men, we will be judged by the thoughts of our hearts, the intents of our hearts. And so there's not anything that bypasses God. And so if men are not really sincere, serious, you know, and that was one of the first things I heard when I heard the voice, if you're serious, God knows if we're serious or not. And He knew that I had said how many times over the years, I'm serious, but I really wasn't. And in fact, the first thing, you know, and see, God is never mocked in any possible way. God cannot be mocked. He knows exactly what we're thinking. And so Peter could say, Lord, even if everyone else forsakes you, I never will. And Jesus said, now I'll put it in my words, be careful, Peter. You're going to deny that you ever knew me. You know, that must have been a shock for Peter to hear something like that. Mm-hmm. And especially when he's thinking, it's not going to happen.